Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Jasmine, are you, you're on. Come on up, girl. Amen. Now, we don't believe in women preachers. So we have asked the Holy Spirit to speak through Jasmine because he's a man. Okay? So here we go. You listen to him as he speaks through her.
Amen. I like hugs. They're my favorite.
Is this part of your sermon notes?
Yes. Okay. It's very important. Thank you. All right. How's everyone doing tonight? Blessed? Blessed and highly favored? Amen. All right. Well, I'm going to go ahead and open us up in some prayer. I love praying. I love praying. Just pray all night. All right. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity that you have given us to gather here tonight, Lord, to praise your name. We have gathered here in your name, Jesus. In your name, Jesus. In no one else's name but in yours, Jesus. You are holy, Lord. You are so worthy. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity you have given us to experience more of you, Lord, to experience more of your word, more of your power, more of your presence. And I just thank you, God, that everyone who's here tonight, Lord, including myself, that our ears are open to hear your voice, that our eyes, our sight is sharpened to see more clearly, Lord, what your word is speaking to us tonight. And I just thank you, Lord, that your word, that this word that is being sent forth, Lord, that it doesn't come back void, Lord. I thank you, God, that your word never comes back void. That this word is going to be planted on the inside of us. If it's already there, it's going to sprout up and grow faster than it was before. And I thank you, Lord, for a fresh revelation and for transformation and for renewing of our minds through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, something that God's been speaking to me, I know I haven't been here lately. I haven't been here in, I think it's been 4 weeks, so about a month. Almost five whole weeks. And God has been speaking to me some amazing things that, it's always unexpected. I don't know. I know we're supposed to be expectant that he's speaking, but it always comes as a surprise what he says. It's always new, and it's always amazing, and it's always life-giving and life-sustaining and refreshing and renewing. And that's something that God's just been speaking into my spirit the last couple of weeks, is just refreshing and renewing and just a deeper understanding of the word. And so I love that his word can do that. His word is alive and living and powerful, and that's all we need. That's all we need is his word. And what God's been speaking to me in terms of tonight a lot lately is, you know, he told me a few things, but mainly what he told me was encouragement. So I'm really excited for the word we're going to get into tonight, because that's all it's encouragement. We just need to encourage each other. We need to build each other up, and we need to remind each other what the word says. Because I know in here that there's a lot of people who are very much seasoned in the word. They can, you know, they know it like the back of their hand. But like I said before, God's word is so alive and so refreshing and renewing that it's good just to dig into scripture, into even scripture that we've read 100 times before, 1,000 times before. God can always bring new revelation and refreshment when we open ourselves to it. When we tell him, yes, come in, when we give him the invitation to bring renewing and refreshment and encouragement. And so speaking of encouragement, right before praise and worship, I was gifted this lovely picture that Sophia drew. So I wanted to share it with everybody because it just makes you smile. I feel like this was a gift from God. I was looking at it and I was like, thank you. It's just reminding us to smile. To, you know, it's like there's a saying, I don't know if it's just a Mexican saying or if it's just my grandma personally or what, but she always tells me, she says, are you happy? I say, yeah. And she's like, okay, well, advise your face. Let your face know. Remind your face that you're happy. And so you start smiling like, oh, yeah. Yeah, if you're happy, if you're joyful on the inside, you know, for those of us who were here on Sunday morning with Mitch, he was preaching about being joyful, having joy, and he was just bubbling with joy and wanting to dance and just dancing in joy in the Lord. And I feel like that's something that God's on right now. He's on that spin. We got to be joyful and we got to be happy and we got to be encouraged in the word. And, you know, there's a lot of times where we may forget what we need to be reading, what we need to be meditating on in order to be encouraged and in order to feel the joyfulness that we have on the inside in order to stir it up. I know for me, a lot of times, I'm a very emotional person. I don't know if it's just, you know, I'm a 25-year-old female, and so I'm emotional. But I've always been very emotional. I'm just very emotional and sensitive. That can be a good thing, and that can be a train wreck all at the same time. But, you know, I'm working towards that good thing part of it. And so God's always speaking to me about my emotions and about keeping them in check with the word, lining up my thoughts, lining up my mind, and lining up my emotions and my feelings to what the word says. Because our flesh always begs to differ. Our flesh always has to put up an argument. And, well, the devil doesn't help either. Because the devil's on the flesh's side, not on our spirit side. So it's just been so important to me lately to just re-encourage myself, be encouraged in the word, to re-encourage myself, to meditate on the word, not just skim through my Bible and say, okay, I've done my daily reading, I'm done, but really sit there and meditate on the word, ask God to reveal to me what he wants me to learn, what he wants me to do, what does the word say, how can I apply it to my life? How can I apply it to my situation or to what I'm going through? Or how can I pray for my family? How can I help my family? How can I stir up my family's gifts and callings with the word? And so I was having one of these moments last week where I was feeling discouraged. I wasn't feeling very encouraged, you know. And I was talking to a friend of mine. I don't know if you know her, Denise Meehan. I was talking to her on the phone, and she told me something that just stuck with me. It struck me. I mean, it was like a little spiritual slap on the cheek, if you will, because sometimes we need those. And she told me, she says, when it gets dry, go back to the well. When it starts to feel dry, when you start to feel dry, when the season you're in feels dry, go back to the well. The watering well. Go back to the well. So I was like, yeah, go back to the well. It only makes sense. You know, sometimes we may feel so discouraged in our walk or so discouraged just in our daily routine. It's so easy to get into a daily routine that where, you know, it reminds me of like in movies when someone's stranded in the desert and they start doing this crawling thing where they're on the floor and they're reaching and they're like, water, I need water, you know, and you're just feeling that thirst. And it's almost like Jesus is standing right there and you're here crawling saying, I need water. He's like, well, I'm the well. Come over here. Just get up and come over here. Sometimes we need to pick ourselves up and get to the well so we can refresh ourselves. So we're not dry. So when it gets dry, go back to the well. Now let's look at that well. If we go to John chapter 4, I want to remind us about this well, this awesome, amazing well that never runs dry. And if we go to John chapter 4, and we start off in verse 6, I'm going to go ahead and read 6 through 14. Now it says, Jacob's well was there, so Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. In some other versions it says, Jesus was so tired and weary that he went to the well. So I'm like, well, duh. Jesus even gives us an example. If you're tired and weary, go to the well. Verse 7, a woman from Samaria came to draw water. And Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water?" Verse 12 says, "Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Whoa. Jesus said, "The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." How many could use a drink? I could really use a fresh drink every day, a daily drink, right? It almost reminds me, you know, when I was reading this verse this week, this passage of scripture, it reminded me of a sermon I had heard recently about Peter, and about how, you know, when Jesus wanted to wash his feet, he said, "No, you can't wash my feet." You know, and the first thing that he had said to Jesus earlier on in scripture was, "I'm a sinner." You know, so he knew who he was right off the bat. And, you know, he said, "You can't wash my feet. I can't let you," because he knew who Jesus was too. He knew who he was and who he knew who Jesus was. And he's like, "You can't wash my feet." And after some explaining, then he said, "Well, then wash all of me. Wash all of me, Lord." And Jesus said, no, your feet is fine. The rest of you is clean. I just need to wash your feet," right? Paraphrasing a little bit. That was the Jasmine version. But that's what he said. And so for me, when I read this scripture, you know, and he's talking about the water that I'll give him, the drink that I'll give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life, makes me want to say, "Well, just drown me in it. I don't want just a drink. I want you to just pour it all over. I'll just drink it all up until forever, because it won't run dry." But it just stirs up some excitement in me that, you know, Jesus gives us this life-giving, life-sustaining, refreshing water. I don't know how else to explain it. There's not enough words to explain how amazing Jesus is and what he gives us, what he fills us up with when we spend time in his presence, when we take that drink during worship, during prayer, during meditation on the word, during just being still, just sitting still in his presence and just focusing our thoughts and our mind on him and our emotions on him. It's just amazing what he does. He's so alive. He's so alive. And that's how he wants us to be. He wants us to be alive in him, alive and refreshing others as we're refreshed. He wants us to be alive. Speaking of being alive, let's go to Colossians. I've gone over this word and just even typing it up today, I was preaching to myself. It's just good. God's word is just powerful. It's just powerful. And sometimes we as humans, you know, when we're preparing, I mean, I'm a preschool teacher and I teach the kids here at church. And whenever you're preparing a lesson, sometimes it can get a little, what's the word? Anxiety filled, maybe, because you're thinking, "Oh, I need to have something perfect for this, and I need to say this, and I need to say this a certain way, and have this sound, and give a certain feel." But God's word does it all by itself. I could just stand up here and read from Genesis to Revelation, and we would all be so blessed at the end of the evening, or I should say tomorrow morning, because that might take a while. But God's word is just amazing to me, and I'm just so in awe of his word. Anyway, I was going to Colossians. Colossians 2:6-7 says, "Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving." Now, for those of you that were here Sunday, I would definitely say that Mitch was showing a very good demonstration of abounding in thanksgiving. Abounding in thanksgiving and joy, and also bounding in thanksgiving and joy. Because he was doing a lot of this, and he was just very excited and happy, and you know, the words, I almost could see, visually see the words coming out of his mouth with how much excitement and enthusiasm he had sharing God's word with us. And God wants us to be abounding in thanksgiving. Now, abounding isn't just, you know, yes, I'm thankful. Thank you, Jesus. And just going to keep it to myself. No, abounding is overspilling and pouring out and leaking it onto others. You're just so thankful. You're just, you know, everyone else can see it and can feel it, can hear it in your voice when we're thankful, when we're truly thankful. And so with a lot of the scripture tonight, God's just reminding me, wow, this is all he's done for us. This is all he's doing in us and all he's going to be doing in us. It's a lot. It's a lot. He's amazing. I'm going to reread that. It says, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. That is a mouthful. But if we want to walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in our faith, which means it's unshakable, if something's established, it's established. It's a done deal, correct? It's usually what established mean. I didn't go into looking into definitions tonight, regretting that a little bit. But being established, it's unshakable. We want to be established in our faith, only building up and not losing any of it, but continuously building up in our faith. Verses 8 and 9 say, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. I'm going to stop right there. Has anyone seen the news lately? Perhaps, maybe since the 20th, even a little bit before, even building up to the 20th. You know, I've seen a lot of philosophy. I've heard a lot of philosophy, a lot of people trying to come up with answers, come up with excuses, trying to come up with ideas, trying to come up with ways that we can make a situation better. There's only one way that any situation can get better. And we know who the way is. It's only through Jesus. It's only through Jesus. And I've even seen it's rough out there in the social media world. I've even seen, you know, some Christians who have had a hard time and expressing a little more than they probably should with the rest of the world in terms of negative opinion or in terms of coming up with excuses and ideas and solutions and trying to find answers. And we only have one answer. Jesus is our answer. So see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit. You know, a lot of the world is filled with empty promises. And a lot of times we, even us as Christians, because we're humans and we're flesh, we might start filling up ourselves with empty promises, or we might believe an empty promise. We might even give ourselves an empty promise. And these are all things we need to watch out for. Because we're not, it says here in the word, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit or empty promises, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. Verse 9, for in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. For in him the whole fullness of God dwells. And you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. There's that word filled again. You know, we're looking to be filled by the well, filled by Jesus, filled by his promises. And here in the word, it says that we've been filled by him. So sometimes I read the word and I'm like, hey, I'm missing out on something. If there's ever a time that you're feeling empty or that you're feeling discouraged, we're already filled by him. If we've accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, if we're living and walking in a relationship with him, we are filled in him. We are filled in him. You know, this might sound a little bit like a rerun, but God's really bringing up in Ephesians 3 how he talks about experiencing the fullness of God. You know, that's something I had mentioned a couple months back. is experiencing, we want to experience the fullness of God, and we want to go from glory to glory, right? And not even going from glory to glory, but we want to grow from glory to glory. You know, those prayers were to experience the fullness. It wasn't so that we would receive the fullness. It wasn't so that we could make our way to the fullness or to find the fullness. It's to experience it because we're already filled in Him. We're already filled in Him. We just need to walk in the experience of feeling the fullness of Him. You know, Paul wrote a lot of hard things to swallow. I have to admit, a lot of his letters, I believe that that's where that scripture comes into play about the word being sharp, like a two-edged sword, because Paul wrote some really hard things, and you read them, and even sometimes reading them on my own, you know, when I'm in my personal time, I'm like, oh, that's all right, that's sharp. Some things you don't even want to highlight. You're like, I'm just going to read it, and I'll come back to it later when I can be more comfortable with what I just read. But he never sugarcoated anything. He never sugarcoated anything. He was bold. And even though a lot of the things he wrote were hard things to swallow, hard things to hear, not easy on the ears, he prayed so passionately. I love that about Paul. He had a desperation for the fullness of God. You know, he had desperation to see God's glory working in his life and the life of his churches, the life of the people that God gave him, the lives of everyone around him. He had a desperation to see not only the fullness of God in his own life, but in ours. You know, it was like, I have this and I want you to have it as well. Or God, fill me up more so I can help them get filled up more. And that's how we should be, encouraging each other. And I'm really hungry for that kind of desperation. I'm desperate for the desperation. I want more. I want to see God's glory working in my life more and in the lives of everyone around me, of everyone here tonight. And I want to be passionate like Paul. You know, if we go back a chapter to Colossians 1, 9 through 11, it says in the Amplified, "For this reason, we also, from the day we heard of it, have not ceased to pray and make special request for you, asking that you may be filled with the full, deep, and clear knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom, in comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of God, and in understanding and discernment of spiritual things, that you may walk, live, and conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, and desiring to please Him in all things, bearing fruit in every good work, and steadily growing and increasing in and by the knowledge of God with fuller, deeper, and clearer insight, acquaintance, and recognition. We pray that you may be invigorated and strengthened with all power according to the might of His glory, to exercise every kind of endurance and patience, perseverance and forbearance with joy." Wow. I want that. I want all of it. Wow, that is so good. That is so good. I really encourage you, if there's any chance that you forgot your Bible or didn't bring your Bible, I know we don't have the scriptures up for you tonight, but I really encourage you to go home and read Colossians 1, 9 through 11, and just pray that over your life, over your family, over your church. Just, wow. Just to be filled with the full, deep, and clear knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom. That was just a handful of words from that prayer, but that's amazing. I want to experience that. To be so assured in God's will that you can step out and do anything He asks you. How amazing would that be? And I say it, you know, in that tense because I know that I haven't reached that, and I want to be there. I want to be there. And His word says, if you ask, you'll receive. So let's ask Him. Let's ask Him for that. And then I love how, you know, at the end of that, it says, with joy. You're going to have all of this with joy. Not with sadness, not with sorrow, not with mourning, not with anxiety, not with worry. But he wants you to have a full and clear picture of his will being steadily assured in your faith in Jesus with joy. With joy. So good. So good. Let's flip back over to Colossians 2. Colossians 2, 11 through 15 in the Message says, entering into this fullness is not something you figure out or achieve. It's not a matter of being circumcised or keeping a long list of laws. No, you're already in. Insiders. Not through some secretive initiation, right? But rather through what Christ has already gone through for you. Destroying the power of sin. If it's an initiation ritual you're after, you've already been through it by submitting to baptism. Going under the water was a burial of your old life. Coming up out of it was a resurrection. God raising you from the dead as he did Christ. When you were stuck in your old sin-dead life, you were incapable of responding to God. God brought you alive, right along with Christ. Think of it. All sins forgiven. The slate wiped clean. That old arrest warrant canceled and nailed to Christ's cross. Entering into his fullness is not something you can figure out or achieve. That's just amazing to me. It's not something that we do. It's not by us. It's by having that faith and just resting assured in his will. Coming into his presence, coming back into that well every time we feel like we're getting dry. And not waiting till the last minute either. I found out the hard way, that's not the best way to do it. Don't wait until you're at the bottom of the barrel seeking a drop of water. It needs to be a daily thing so that we can receive more and more and more of his wisdom, of his power, of his presence, of his strength working in us. Because it's not by our strength. The word says entering into his fullness is not something you figure out or achieve. So a lot of times we feel like, okay, God, I want to get in your presence. I want to get in your presence. I want to experience you more. And so maybe you start doing things in your own, like, okay, I'm gonna make sure that I, you know, we start getting religious. We start getting religious about it. And it's not about religion. It's about relationship. We know that. We know it's about relationship. And example, Pastor Calvin, how would you say your relationship is with Pastor Barbara?
How is my relationship with her? It's going quite well at the moment, yeah.
Good answer. Very good. Good job, Pastor Calvin. All right. So, I got you on the spot there. You do that to me often. It's just a little payback. All right. So, anyway. The vengeance is the Lord's, I forgot. Okay, so you would say that your relationship is going pretty well at the moment. That's what you said, right? Those were your words, in quote. Okay. Would you say that do you communicate with Pastor Barbara often?
Do I communicate with her often? I have to communicate with her a lot.
A lot, okay.
That's why the relationship is going well, because we communicate a lot, yeah.
Would you say that's like a daily thing, or...?
It's actually, once you've been married as long as I have, it's something that never stops. It's 24/7, every minute, every day. Whether you're together or not, you're communicating. We're connected.
Amen. Just in case anyone didn't know where I was going with that, we're in a relationship with Jesus. We should be communicating with him. If you want things to be going pretty well... We need to be connected. We need to be connected. We need to be receiving and giving. Giving and receiving. It's a back and forth thing. It's a 50-50, if you will. And that's just in a human explanation. Because really, if you think about it, you know, we say, okay, I'll give 50 and God will give 50. But God never gives 50. He'll give a million, you know. You give a little portion. You take a step closer to him. And he'll take 20 steps up to your face like, all right, you want to speak with me? God is so eager to be in that relationship with us, in that daily conversation. That daily conversation, us sitting down and really saying, God, I want to hear your voice today. I want you to speak to me. I want to feel your presence. I want you to tell me how to live my life. Because I know a lot of times, you know, that reminds me of some teenagers, you know, they say, don't tell me how to live my life. Or, you know, we see it a lot. I see it a lot. I work at an elementary school. So I say, you don't tell me what to do. You're not my mom. It happens sometimes. But you know what? I say to Jesus, I say, tell me how to live my life. You rule over me, please. And you know, sometimes I fight with him about the whole free will thing. I'm like, really? I don't need to have it. It's okay. You can just take control. But that's not how we grow. He wants us to grow and to be able to move. Yeah, he wants us to take steps towards him so that he can surprise us with how close he'll get to us. You know, I wanna walk hand in hand with Jesus. I really want to experience that fullness. It's just so encouraging to know that we can. We can do that. It's not like some far-off idea, you know, or something that only pastors can do, or something that, you know, the Pope has. He has this closeness. You know, it's not like that. We can have that closeness. It doesn't matter what our occupation is. It doesn't matter what our background is, our ethnicity. None of that matters. What matters is our heart open to receive him and to receive that relationship. And so God's just saying tonight, come closer. Come get a little closer to me. Come nudge in a little. You know, it's chilly out. Come nudge in. Come get a little closer to me. Come get closer than you have before, to where I can whisper in your ear and you can hear my voice. You can hear what I'm trying to say to you. You know, in Colossians 1, go back to Colossians. I really like Colossians. Colossians, I didn't realize that. That's a theme tonight. Colossians 1, verses 4 and 5 in the Amplified say, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. Now, I'm going to stop right there and I'm going to warn you. Because this, if you think what I read in Colossians 1, verses 9 and 11, the prayer from Paul was amazing. This is amazing. Verses 4 and 5 in the Amplified says, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, the leaning of your entire human personality on him, in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom and goodness, and of the love which you have and show for all the saints who are God's consecrated ones, because of the hope of experiencing what is laid up, reserved and waiting for you in heaven. Of this hope you heard in the past in the message of the truth of the gospel. Wow. I want that to be me. Can anyone say that they're there? No, right? Me neither. Yeah. The leaning of your entire human personality on him, in absolute trust and confidence in his power, in his wisdom, and in his goodness. Wow. I would love to lean my entire human personality on him in absolute trust. I mean, can you imagine the peace of mind, of will, of emotions, the peace of in your spirit to lean completely your entire human personality, your entire everything that you are, your entire being on him and to rely on him. Imagine the fullness that you experience there. I really want to be there. What a peace. That's, wow. The leaning of your entire human personality on him, in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness. Well, maybe you think, well, I don't really know his power and his wisdom and his goodness. I know we're always saying God's good and God's awesome. But what is that? What does that mean? We have it right here. If we read the word, we got to dig into the word. We got to dig into the word, and it's full of God's promises, of his wisdom, of his power. It's full of it. And we just need to really, really dig into the word. And I think that's just so encouraging. We have it in our hands. We have it on our smartphones, on our tablets, on our laptops, on the internet. It's everywhere. We have the word. We have the word. And that alone brings me a sense of peace. Like, okay, I know where I can turn. I know where I can go when I'm feeling dry. go to the Word. Go to the Word, and the Word will renew our mind so that we can be in the process and grow in leaning of our entire human personality on Him, in absolute trust and confidence in His power, wisdom, and goodness. That's a goal right there. That's what I would love to strive for. That's what I'm striving for, that we can do that. It's really good. Really good word. You know, and there's times, I know this is an encouraging word, and so I know I've experienced sometimes, maybe you're thinking, well, it's hard right now. There's so many things going on. There's so many situations going on. You don't know what it's like in my house. You don't know what it's like at my job. You don't know what it's like at my school or what it's like just walking the streets of Douglas. You don't know what it's like, or you haven't experienced that. But you know what? We've all experienced in one sense or another the feeling of emptiness. And until we reach the fullness, we won't feel, you know, a spot that's not empty. And experiencing that fullness, getting to the fullness, is realizing that we can be fully satisfied in Jesus. That's where our wholeness, our full satisfaction comes from. It's in Him. It's not in anything else. You know, one of these other moments that I've had recently, because I have a few of them, of feeling the emptiness or feeling, you know, the emotions. I just opened my Bible, and whatever page it was on, I just started reading. Sometimes it's good to do that. It's good to read with intention, but sometimes you just got to open the Word and say, all right, God, Your Word is alive and living. What does this say right here? I opened it, and I happened to go to Colossians 1, verse 17, and it says, He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. When the world feels like it's falling apart, when the nation feels like it's on the verge of falling apart, when you feel like you're on the verge of falling apart, which happens to everybody, I know I'm not by myself, in Him all things hold together. I'm really feeling encouraged in the Word. A lot of the Word is may sound simple or just little things, but really, in Him, all things hold together. All things hold together. And He is before all things. He's the one who goes before us. He knows our situations. He knows what our tomorrow looks like. He's trying to tell us we need to get out of the moment of right now, of what's happening right now. And we need to know that He's already been there, and He's already where we're going. He knows where we're going. So if we can just lean on Him, come back to that well when we're feeling dry, in Him, all things hold together. All things hold together. Amen, Pastor Calvin. Yeah, we're one of those all things that He holds together. Amen. You know, and the devil gives us plenty of opportunities to feel empty and to feel those things, but we got to remember their feelings, their emotions, and we don't trust in our emotions. What do we trust in? We trust in God. We trust in God. We don't walk by, but we don't walk by sight, and we don't walk in the flesh, but we walk by faith, and we walk in the Spirit. We're living in the Spirit. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. All things hold together. And you know, last couple of weeks, the reason why I was gone was I went to a conference in Kansas City at the International House of Prayer. It was founded by Mike Bickle. And they have this yearly conference called One Thing. So when I went to this conference, and also when was it? It was a couple months ago that I went on a missions trip with pastors into Mexico. God has really just been speaking to me about ministering to other people. And it has been amazing that the same word He gave me in Mexico, He gave me in Kansas City. And wow, what I have been experiencing with that one word to minister to people, it just goes to show that God's word is for everybody, every situation, every life, every age. God's word is for everyone. And the word that I have been giving to people as God reminds me of it is, we all have gifts and we all have a calling. We all have gifts. You have a gift that's placed on the inside of you. And God wants us to stir up that gift. He wants us to stir up that gift. He wants us to find that purpose in Him, the purpose that He's given us. We all have a purpose. We all have a calling. And He wants us to walk in that. And so that's just been amazing to me, because we all have gifts. We all have them. We all have a gift. Tom, you have a gift on the inside of you. And God wants you to stir it up, to stir up that calling, to find it. Because He's got something. And it's not just a physical gift or a physical talent. He's got something on the inside of us, on the inside of our spirit. And He wants us to draw it out. He wants us to draw out that gift. He wants to draw out from us. We're also wells. And God's looking to draw up those gifts and those callings from the well, and to use them so that he can distribute that to other people. Just as we draw from Him and pull from Him, He draws and He pulls from us. And so if I don't have the word on the inside of me, living and active, if I'm not living the word, then when the opportunity arises and God comes to me and He's saying, okay, that person over there needs something, and He's coming up to the well to draw from it, if I don't have the word on the inside of me, I can't offer that person anything. I can't offer that person living hope. I can't fill up their well with anything if I don't have it in me first. So, you know, maybe you have a burden on the inside of you to help people, and to, maybe you see people hurting in ways that not everyone notices, and you feel an urge to help people. You feel an urge to do something, or you have a passion about something. God wants us to be filled up with that, because He places those desires on the inside of us. He created desire. He created dreams, and He created those purposes for us that we should be living in, that He wants us to be living in, and He wants us to be drawing out from. Does anybody here have a sweet tooth? Anybody like sugar? Yeah? You got a sweet tooth? How many has more than one? Anybody have more than one sweet tooth? I think I have a whole mouthful. My dentist can tell you that, can confirm. But we crave sugar, right? Some people, most people. You see something sweet and you're like, oh yeah, I want some of that. We crave sugar, right? If sugar didn't exist, would we be craving it? We wouldn't know the taste of it, right? Yeah. So if God has placed a desire or a craving on the inside of you, something, a dream on the inside of you, and you're saying, that's just me, that's just something I want, or that's just something I want to do, that's something I would like to do. If He's placed a desire on the inside of you, a desire to see something or to do something, then it's there. It's available in His timing. But what do we need to do in order to realize that, or in order to have that happen? We need to be with Him. We need to be able to hear His voice. We need to be able to draw from His well, right? We need to have the word on the inside of us so that we can know and rest fully assured in His power, wisdom, and goodness, in His will, so that we can experience the fullness. God places desires on the inside of us because they're part of our purpose and our calling. They're part of His plan for us. Whether it's today or tomorrow or 20 years from now, He places desires on the inside of us. He places gifts, and He wants us to be able to draw up from those and to stir them up and to use them to impact the world around us. You know, the word says we're the hands and feet of Jesus. We're also a well. So God draws up from us just as we draw from Him. Yeah. Philippians 4, 16 and 17 in the Amplified. This is going to sound a little out of place, but I know where I'm going. For even in Thessalonica, you sent me contributions for my needs, not only once, but a second time. Not that I seek or am eager for your gift, but I do seek and am eager for the fruit which increases to your credit, the harvest of blessing that is accumulating to your account. Now, a lot of times this may be a reference to giving, right? It might mean financially. But when I read this, God spoke to me and He said, be eager for your gift and the fruit which increases. to your credit or the harvest of blessing that is accumulating. So don't only be eager for fruit in the spirit, right? For fruit that we're supposed to be producing, the fruit that which our lives produce, but be eager for the fruit that is increasing. He wants us to be increasing in our good works. He wants us to be increasing in the fruit that our lives are producing when we rely on him, when we rest assuredly in his word. And so he wants us to be increasing. Yeah. A few more scriptures quickly. I know I'm already 5 minutes over. I'm sorry, but the word is really good. And I know this is a blessing. I'm not going to read through them, but I'm going to give you a couple scriptures to read through as soon as you can. 2 Timothy 1, 6 and 7. We're to fan into flame the gift that we have. 1 Timothy 4, 14 through 16. Don't neglect the gift so that you can progress. Look well to your own personality. Remember, we're to lean our whole personality on him. And then go back to Colossians 1, 4 and 5. So something that God said is that the atmosphere that you prepare on the inside is much more important than the atmosphere you produce on the outside. Any way you look at it, we cannot produce the fruit we want if we aren't working with the right tools. If we want to see fruit on the outside, if we want to see his word working on the outside, we've got to make sure it's on the inside. The atmosphere you prepare on the inside is much more important than the atmosphere you produce on the outside. So if we want to produce the outside atmosphere, we've got to be right in the inside atmosphere and who we are. What is our atmosphere like? Or what is our atmosphere like at home? How do we carry ourselves in our everyday life? What is our atmosphere like? Stir up your gift and your calling. Set ablaze your passion and your purpose, right? With those desires. And with that being said, one of my favorite verses is Psalms 37:4. Because it says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires and secret petitions of your heart. So remember when we talked about those desires and those dreams that we have on the inside? You know, I'm sorry, but I have to give you this example. To me, when I see, you know, when I think about the desires that I have, now I'm going to open up my heart, and I'll just go ahead and share with you all. You're all family anyway. Nothing embarrassing here, or online for whoever's going to be listening in the future. But me, I'm pretty sure everyone here can guess what a typical 25-year-old single female's future desires might be. I'm a preschool teacher. I love kids. So, of course, in my own personal life, I would love to be married someday and to have kids. That's typical, right? That's something that you can ask any other 20-something-year-old woman, and oh, I'd love to have a baby, yeah, and I'd love to be married, and we can just do life together, and it'd be great. I hear it all the time. And so those are desires that I have, right? Some of you may have others. Some of you may have already passed those. But the point I'm trying to get to is a lot of times you may think in your own personal time that your desire is just, it's just something silly, or it's just something like, oh, it's not happening right now, so it's not going to happen. Or, you know, I need to stop thinking like that. That's silly. I love to paint. Another desire I have is to paint on the streets of Paris one day and to paint the landscape and have people walk by and throw quarters at me or whatever they would throw. What do they throw in France? Euros. There we go. Thank you, Ramon Cartier. Euros. They throw some euros at me, right? I would love to be in a movie and just be painting, you know, on the streets of Paris with the cute little artist hat that they wear with the little, what is it called? Beret. There we go. Yeah, with one of those. I haven't really looked into that one, as you can tell. I haven't done my research on it yet. It's a far-off desire. But that might sound silly to a lot of people, but if God's placed that desire, it's just an example, okay? If he's placed that desire on the inside of me, he's going to make it happen. If I'm walking in his will, if I'm living according to his purpose, he's going to make that happen. You can have what you want. That's right. Yeah. God wants to fulfill those desires. You know, if we delight in him, he delights in giving us our desires. He's a loving father. He loves that. He loves that. You know, how many of you parents here or grandparents get fulfillment in giving gifts to your children or to your grandchildren? And it's not, even me, I love to give gifts. And for me, it's not so much the giving of the gift. I love to see the reaction afterwards. Or I love to see when they open it, the excitement and the wonder, right? If you've ever given a little kid something that they've wanted, and they're just like, wow! Mitch even mentioned this on Sunday. He mentioned how, you know, Noah, if Noah wants some marshmallows, he's like, I got marshmallows, yay! Marshmallows! He gets all excited. No, it's two. He's going to be three next month. So God loves that. He loves seeing our excitement. And we receive that when we're in the fullness of Him. When we're in the fullness of Him, we can receive all that we have coming to us. And we have a lot coming to us. And believe me, it's not God who's holding back all that He has. It's the fact that we're not moving closer to receive it. When we walk up to Him, He's like, here, I got this and I got this. And I was wondering when you were going to come pick this up. I've had this waiting for you. I've had this amazing blessing. This desire should have been fulfilled a while ago, but don't worry, I won't say anymore. Here it is now. God has so many things for us, so many amazing things for us. He wants to transform the way we think. He wants to transform the way we feel. We don't have to feel tired every day and weary and worn out and bored. Just very melancholy, if you will, nonchalant. He wants us to be excited and abounding in thanksgiving, delighting in His word, delighting in Him, coming back to the well. That's so good. So, so good. The verse above verse 4 in Psalms 37 says, trust, lean on, rely on, and be confident in the Lord, and do good. So shall you dwell in the land and feed surely on His faithfulness, and truly you shall be fed. Amen. Lean on. There's those words again. We saw that to lean on, to lean our personality on Him. Lean the way we think and we feel and we act and we move and what we do. Lean it on Him. Dwell in the land. That reminded me of Abraham. You know, a verse in Hebrews says, Abraham was waiting expectantly and confidently, looking forward to the city which has fixed and firm foundations, whose architect and builder is God. You know, that city can be considered our atmosphere, the way you look at it. If you look at it that way, he was waiting expectantly and confidently, looking forward to the place that has fixed and firm foundations and whose architect and builder is God. I want to be in a place, not only a physical place, but I want to be in a spiritual place where the foundations are fixed and firm and unshakable in His presence. We should be walking in that. That should be our atmosphere, right? Our atmosphere should be fixed and firm and established on God's foundations, and He's the architect and the builder. I love God's word. It's just so good. All right, I just got two more scriptures for you, and I'm going to go ahead and let you write them down. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 23 through 24, God's faithful, the one who's called us. He's faithful, and He'll surely do all He has planned. And 1 Thessalonians 4, the whole chapter. Life pleasing to God. It's short. But I just really, really, really felt very encouraged by God's word for tonight. Just that we just need to soak ourselves in the word. You know, it's so good. Those are only a few scriptures, very, very small, not even a handful of scriptures of encouragement for us, daily encouragement, ways that we can build ourselves up in the spirit and build each other up. You know, we can pray just like Paul did for ourselves and for everyone else we know. And if we're believing as we're praying, we're going to receive it. We're going to receive everything that we ask for according to His will and purpose. And God's will is for us to be joyful and to be abounding in thanksgiving, not lacking anything, not lacking one thing. So that's all the word I have for tonight, which is a lot. It's good. We got to soak on it. We got to meditate on it. And I would just like to close in prayer, if that's okay. Lord, I thank You for the word that You shared with us tonight. I thank You, God, that Your word is alive, it's living, it's active, it's life-sustaining. You breathed out Your word, God. And I thank You, Lord, that for each and every one of us who is here tonight, God, that Your word is building up right now. It's building up in our spirit, Lord. It's building up in the physical, in the natural. It's building up on all levels of our lives, God. I thank you, God, that we're working towards experiencing the fullness, that we can experience the fullness of your presence, that we're able to experience the fullness of your presence tonight, Lord, as we sleep, that we're able to rest in you and to rest in that confidence and hope. I thank you, God, that you're building up a hunger on the inside of us for more of your word and that you're stirring up in us our callings and our gift. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good word. Invite people to come. We have a good thing going here. So invite people to come to church, and we'll see you as soon as you can get back. Bless you.